Chapter 7. We set sail. The next day we set sail. There was a strong west wind, and everyone was in good spirits. The sailors were very friendly, especially the cook, Long John Silver. He sang and laughed all the time. Everyone liked him. After a week at sea, two strange things happened. One evening, the sailors asked Silver,
"Sing us a song, sailor!"
Silver began to sing,
"15 men on a dead man's chest."
And the sailors sang,
"Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum."
That was the song the captain sang at our inn. I was worried, but I didn't tell anyone. A few days later, the second thing happened. I was sitting behind a barrel on the deck, eating an apple. Suddenly, a man sat down and started to talk. He didn't know I was behind the barrel. I didn't move. The man was Long John Silver, and he was talking to Dick, one of the young sailors.
"You'll get a lot of money," Silver said. "Before Flint died, he paid me £2,000, and it's in the bank in England."
"Are Flint's men here?"
Dick asked.
"Yes, they're all on the ship. Pew and Bill are dead, but the others are here. Join us, Dick. Be on our side."
"I'm not a pirate," Dick said.
"Of course not," Silver said. "But if you join me and my men, you'll be rich."
Another man arrived. I recognized the voice of Israel Hands, one of Silver's men, and the oldest sailor on the ship.
"Won't Dick join us?"
Hands asked.
"Of course he will," said Silver.
"All right,"
said Dick.
"All right."
"That's good," said Hans.
"When will we kill them, Silver? I hate Captain Smollett. I want to kill him myself."
"Israel Hans," Silver said in a quiet voice, "listen to me. I give the orders. We need the captain. He knows how to sail this ship better than anyone. My plan is, first we'll sail to the island. Then we'll find the treasure. And then we'll kill them."
"You're right," said Hans. "We must wait."
"That's enough talking," Silver said. "Come to my cabin. I've got a bottle of rum."
"Good."
The men walked away. I waited until it was quiet, and then I ran to the captain's cabin as fast as I could. I was trembling with fear. Captain Smollett was right. These sailors were pirates. "Captain Smollett," I said, "I must speak to you. It's urgent."
"All right, Jim."
"And I want Dr. Livesey and Squire Trelawney to hear what I've got to tell you."
"Bring them to my cabin," the captain said.
When the four of us were together, I checked that no one was outside the door. "Sit down, please," I said quietly. "I've got some bad news, some very bad news." The three men listened carefully while I told them everything. I looked at the squire. His face was very red.
"It's my fault," he said, "and I'm sorry. Captain Smollett was right. But Silver looks honest. He's got a kind face."
"A kind face and a bad heart," said Captain Smollett.
"You know, Jim," the doctor said, "I think you've saved our lives. Now we know who are our friends and who are our enemies."
"That's right," said the captain. "And another thing, you're a boy, Jim, and the men don't suspect you. Talk to them and discover who is with us and who is against us."
"I'll do what I can," I replied.
"You know that I never liked Silver," Captain Smollett said, "and I never trusted him. Before we left Bristol, I bought extra guns and gunpowder. I think we'll need them. We must have a plan. How many men do we have?"
"We have my three servants, Hunter, Joyce, and Redruth," Squire Trelawney said. "They're all good, loyal men."
"And Abraham Gray, the only man I took on board before you arrived with Long John Silver's men," said the captain.
"There's me," said the doctor. Then he put his hand on my shoulder and said, "And we have a brave boy." I felt good when he said that, but I was very worried. I did not want to kill anyone, and I did not want to be killed.